You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome into another live postcast of Locked On Wolves. I'm Ben Beacon, the host of Locked On Wolves, joined by Chilanga Langasin of Zone Coverage and the CND NBA podcast. We're going live following the Wolves. Game two loss to the Memphis Grizzlies. First of all, a big thank you to our sponsors of today's program. That, of course, is our friends at Prize Picks. I've been talking about Prize Picks for months now on Locked On Wolves. If you haven't signed up, please be sure to do so right now. For a limited time, listeners of Lockdown get $50 for free on Prize Picks. If you're not familiar, it's the best NBA DFS prop game on the market. Tonight, I took the over on Karl Anthony Towns points was like 26.5, and the over on Brandon Clark points, neither one was close. It was awful. But the great thing is you can actually do mixed sport entries, so you can combine NBA playoffs plus another sport. It's a ton of fun over at Prize Picks. Use the promo code NBA, get $50 for free if your first Prize Picks entry scores a single point. All users that deposit and use the promo code NBA get $50 free if your first Prize Picks entry scores a single point. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. All right, Chilanga, what did we just watch? The Timberwolves, after a big game one win, obviously, it wasn't going to be easy in game two, but Timberwolves lost by, well, it was 30 plus, wasn't it? It was 28. They lost by 28. What do we do with this?
What we do is we sit back and we say tough loss. No, but Memphis came out and they were aggressive. They made a lot of really good defensive adjustments. They loaded up on Anthony Edwards and, you know, didn't let him get in a rhythm, forced him into a lot of jump shots. Taylor Jenkins pulled Steven Adams out of the game early and didn't bring him back in. You know, a lot of the things that I think we expected to see Memphis do, they did. And it really worked against the Timberwolves tonight. Not to mention, shots also just weren't falling. And, yeah, you know, when the defense adjusts to your offense and then your shots don't fall, that's a recipe for a big loss.
Yeah, absolutely. I had like three or four main takeaways. I'm going to break them all down further later on the postgame podcast over at Lockdown Wolves. But the first one for me, like you mentioned, was Memphis's adjustments. And I think that was a really obvious. I think we all saw this. It was a little surprising Steven Adams even started for Memphis. He was pretty terrible in the first game. And the matchup's not good for him. And Taylor Jenkins realized this. And clearly it was just sort of like the old, we'll leave the veteran in there and kind of phase him out. But he played the first 3 minutes of the game and didn't see the court again. Jaren Jackson Jr. obviously played better. We knew he wasn't going to play as bad as he did in game one. He's probably Memphis's second best all-around player. And he was really good on both ends of the floor. The biggest thing is without Steven Adams, Memphis is able to be pretty completely versatile and switchable in all any pick and roll involving Karl Anthony Towns. They're able to switch everything with Jaren Jackson Jr. at the five. The Timberwolves on the other side of the floor kind of tried to keep Karl Anthony Towns out of some of those pick and roll actions. And Memphis kind of hunted that. There were a couple of times where they were able to get right as the Wolves were trying to get Towns to switch out of a pick and roll and get Pat Bev or somebody else to step in. Memphis was seeing that and catching Towns kind of in, you know, getting to the other spot on the floor and caught him off balance, got a drive to the basket a couple different times, were able to get the Wolves in a rotation and get an open shot. It was those adjustments by Memphis. And obviously Memphis lost game one, so they were the team that had to adjust. They weren't the overconfident, you know, higher seed that said, The Timberwolves can make adjustments. We're the higher seed. We won X number of games this year. We're one of the best teams in the league. Memphis, credit to them. They made a bunch of adjustments. And I didn't expect the Wolves to come into the game having made adjustments because they won fairly easily on Saturday. The frustrating thing is they didn't really make many mid-game adjustments. And I don't know that we can lay that all on Chris Finch because the team didn't look very interested in competing once we got to the third quarter either.
Yeah, I mean, I think in the third quarter, the only person who really seemed like they were trying to get the Wolves back in it was Anthony Edwards. He started being really aggressive on the defensive end, going for steals, sometimes, you know, a little too aggressively. There was one where he gambled on the steal on a pass to Dylan Brooks, ran way past him, and Grizzlies got going in some offensive action. But I think one in-game adjustment that I think took a little bit too long was putting Jalen Noel in the game. Like, the Wolves had nothing going on offense in the first half. And Jalen Noel can be a fix to that. He can be an automatic bucket. But by the time that Finch put him in, the Wolves were already so far down that, like, his isolation scoring wasn't really what the Wolves needed in that moment. They needed to get some stuff going for their offense to like really get some flow. And watching Jalen Noel play hero ball and Anthony Edwards play hero ball doesn't get that flow.
Yeah, agreed 100%. And also, as long as we're talking about coaching, the one other thing that I think put the Wolves behind the eight ball a little bit early in the second quarter, and it was easy to forget because the Wolves bounced back, but they got down 8-10 points early in the second quarter when Torian Prince was at the four. And Torian Prince actually played pretty well in this game, but the Wolves were getting just worked on the offensive glass. I thought defensively in the first half, the Wolves weren't that bad. I mean, obviously it was a foul fest. We could talk about that if we want to, and I'm not going to sit here and talk about officiating because it was a foul fest on both ends of the floor. The Wolves did not get jobbed by the officiating. It just, there was no flow to the game, and both teams had to deal with that. The Grizzlies handled it better. So no officiating complaints here, but besides that, besides the Wolves over fouling, they played okay defensively in the first half, to be clear, the first half, but then they just started getting worked on the offensive glass, and Torian Prince at the four ended up on the perimeter a lot defensively in pick and rolls. And so then it was Karl Anthony Towns and a bunch of smalls that were trying to rebound against a really good, the league's best offensive rebounding team. And an advantage that the Wolves were able to kind of wipe out in game one, or really entirely wipe out in game one, the Grizzlies got into a rhythm offensively by getting some of those offensive rebounds, the kickouts for open threes, putbacks, a couple of big putback dunks to get the crowd into it. And the Wolves were just kind of slow to adjust in terms of their rotation in the second quarter. And then, of course, Karl Anthony Towns picks up the third foul late in the quarter. And things kind of, you know, even though they finished okay and they dealt with that Memphis run in the second quarter okay, I think they were only down eight at halftime. Then the third quarter is when things really started to snowball. But I think to me, rotations were another thing that were just a little bit off here. One of my other takeaways, and it was just generally in addition to offensive rebounding, points in the paint, another area where the Wolves had an aversion to getting into the paint, basically everybody. I mean, weirdly, like, I don't know, I haven't actually looked at the shot chart, but if you told me Malik Beasley had the same number of attempts at the rim as Anthony Edwards, it's close, or at least the most drives, I should say. Beasley got into the paint and kicked the ball out several times, but he put the ball on the floor more in this game than almost anyone else on the Wolves. It was very weird.
Yeah, it was. And I did see, you know, in the second half, like defensively on Anthony Edwards, there were times where like Patrick Beverley would come and try to screen for Ant to get Josh switched on to Ant. And Memphis would deny that switch because Patrick Beverley isn't some imposing screen. So it's easy enough to really aggressively fight over the switch, fight over the screen and not let Ant get that switch, which again is preventing him from getting into his game, preventing like the Wolves offense from opening up because he's turning into a jump shooter. Another thing that I'm interested in seeing as the series moves forward is there was this stretch in the first, I think it was the end of the first quarter. Karl Anthony Towns was on the floor playing with his two fouls. Brandon Clark and Jaren Jackson, I believe, were sharing the front court, and the Wolves were small, or the Grizzlies were small, and Karl Anthony Towns scored like six points in a row. He was attacking really aggressively, and I'm wondering, like, how can the Wolves take advantage when the Grizzlies are small like that? Because I mean, there is an advantage there with Karl Anthony Towns and his size and his ability to attack offensively. And I'm just interested to see them, you know, take advantage of that more.
Yeah. I feel like the offensive flow, we talked about this, but the flow of the game in general, the Wolves offensive flow specifically, just, they never got into anything really. I want to talk a little bit more about that here in a second. First, let's talk about our friends over at Rock Auto. This episode of Locked On Sports Minnesota postcast, Locked On Wolves postcast, is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have a computer with access to rockauto.com, both at home and in your pocket. You can save time and money when using Rock Auto. They're a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years, and their prices are reliably low for every single customer. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. All right, to your point regarding the Timberwolves not getting into much offensively, I mean, that's across the board. I mean, Anthony Edwards didn't attack the rim. D'Angelo Russell turned in another clunker. I mean, he was obviously really good in the play-in a week ago, but Saturday, game one, Tuesday, game two, not good games for D'Lo. We knew that Memphis was going to key on him after he had such a good regular season, four games against them, 32 points per game, over 50% from the floor, like 48% or something crazy from three. That was probably more fluky than anything else, right? Ja's obviously not a great defender, but Memphis is a good defensive team. And they were geared up to stop D'Lo. The crazy thing for me in this one is that they truly loaded up on Anthony Edwards in a way that I talked about on Lockdown Wolves over the last couple of days. I didn't think they'd be able to do this because I thought Ant was intuitive enough to drive and kick. You know, he's making the correct reads for the most part over the really kind of the latter half of the regular season this year. I didn't think they'd be able to load up on him and the Wolves not make the Grizzlies pay, whether it's Kat, D'Lo, Patrick Beverley shooting open threes, whoever that might be. But you mentioned earlier, they just missed open shots. I thought Ant actually played it well early, but then he got into like step back three mode and just kind of, you know, what we've seen Ant devolve into sometimes when he's not getting into the paint and teams are guarding him the way that the Memphis Grizzlies were.
Yeah. And there were moments where it looked like that was going to work. And he hit a couple big shots in the third quarter where it kind of felt like, oh, you know, the Wolves are getting some momentum now. You know, they got it under 20. And a lot of that was Ant hitting really like difficult shots. But that can't be the only thing. And if the Grizzlies can make that Ant's only thing, then they've won that matchup. You know, I don't know if Ant has faced this type of defensive aggression, like specifically targeted at him this entire season, because he hasn't quite been this level of offensive threat. And there hasn't been a seven game series where, you know, Taylor Jenkins can go look like, all right, here's what we're going to do to stop Ant. And so on Thursday, let's see how he counters.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. I mean, this is playoff basketball, right? So not only is the intensity ratcheted up on the defense, well, on both ends of the floor, but on the opposing defenses, but also adjustments from game to game that can really lock in on what Anthony Edwards does, his tendencies, what the Timberwolves like to do. They've already, with the adjustments they made in guarding the Timberwolves pick and roll and the way they load up on Ant in the half court, they've already made some of those adjustments just in one game. And how do the Wolves adjust back before Thursday? And certainly they have the talent to be able to win at least one or two more games in this series and still push it to seven. I mean, again, like obviously the 10,000 foot view is if you're just in a vacuum looking at this series, the Wolves wanted a split in Memphis. They got a split in Memphis. Obviously the loss was a little bit more emphatic than the win on Saturday. But maybe this is the wake up call. Maybe they do go into Minnesota. Remember, they won both regular season games against Memphis and Minnesota. If they could do that again, obviously going back to Memphis with a 3-1 lead, then this would be a very distant memory. Even if they win Thursday, then Tuesday becomes a distant memory. If not, we can certainly look at some of the shortcomings in this game, and kind of, you know, exactly what we're doing now and pick it apart. One last thing, Carl Anthony Towns, you talked about him not getting into the flow. He obviously was in a little bit of foul trouble. He attempted only 7 field goals in this game, which is just insane. And this has happened before. I'm sure Chris Finch is going to note that, I don't even think he'll need to be asked about it. He'll say, we've got to get Cat more involved. But again, credit to Memphis for their adjustments.
Absolutely. He did get to he did take 8 free throws. And yep. So like he made up for it, but 7 shots, even that it's not enough.
Right.
And so we'll see what happens Thursday.
Yeah. Anything in particular you're looking for Thursday besides, you know, a couple of the obvious things we talked about today, but anything as we go, you know, any counter adjustments the Wolves should definitely make between now and Thursday?
I'm wondering, you know, what is Jared Vanderbilt's role in this series? Because so far he has been a zero. I mean, he has barely played. And so I'm wondering, will Finch be dramatic and pull him from the starting lineup, get a little bit more shooting in the starting lineup, see if they can get in the offensive flow sooner? Will he lean into Jared Vanderbilt and ask him to be more aggressive on the glass? You know, I think both are legitimate options, and I'm curious to see how Finch addresses that.
Yeah, agreed. He was almost phased out in the same way as Steven Adams. He played only 9 minutes in this game, and in theory, I don't know that it should be that bad of a matchup, minus the lack of ability to add anything offensively, but defensively, I feel like he should fit this series. So I think that's a really interesting point. All right. We'll do another live postcast, of course, Thursday, win or lose, here at the Lockdown Sports Minnesota YouTube channel. Be sure to subscribe to the channel. We'll do a Lockdown Wolves post game podcast here later this evening still. Otherwise we'll see everybody on Thursday. And again, Chalega, you can read him over at Zone Coverage. You can listen to the CND NBA podcast as well. Appreciate it, Chalega.
Yeah, thank you. See ya.